In the several weeks following Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, he's having conversations with his followers. He's continuing to teach. He's continuing to give guidance. And people aren't just hearing about the resurrection of Jesus. They're actually experiencing it. They saw him dead. They saw him killed. But now they're experiencing him alive again. And it's shaking things up. And we come to the book of Acts, the first chapter. Jesus is talking to a really small collection of guys. And what he tells them is, I want you to take this message forward. I want you to take the kingdom of God, this way of life. It's not just a message, but this way of life. I want you to perpetuate it. You've seen me live it with you for 3 years, and now you know death no longer has the final word. I want you to take it forward. And in the first chapter of the book of Acts, it says that Jesus ascends into the sky and disappears behind a cloud. And I just imagine these guys, he goes up and they kind of look at each other like, okay, now what? And so they go back into the city and they gather together in the upper room like they always did. And it says that, you know, a dozen here and a dozen here, and they got together and there's about 120 of them and they're just praying. And it doesn't say it, but by implication, they're asking the question, now what? Jesus' teaching was undoubtedly powerful. We have been transformed by his teaching. And now we have seen that he has conquered death. What do we do? What do we do with this? And then God's Spirit shows up in this very tangible way, just fills the room. Something that the prophet said was going to happen hundreds of years prior. And they suddenly are experiencing God in a way that human beings have never experienced God before. Now, this is happening weeks after Passover. Pentecost is going on, and so there's Jews from every region, this pilgrimage that Jewish men and women have made from all over the place, and they've all converged on Jerusalem, and this happens. And God's Spirit gives them the ability to communicate with people they couldn't have communicated with 5 seconds earlier. It's like Jesus said, hey, I want you to take this message forward. I want you to perpetuate my teachings and tell people about the kingdom of God. Don't worry about the language barrier. I've got that covered too. And so they're talking to people there's no way they could have been able to talk to. And Peter, with this ready-made audience, preaches a sermon, the first sermon. And he goes through and says, you have been waiting for the Messiah, the one that was going to turn everything around. Well, he came. His name's Jesus. And he was crucified and he died, but he's not dead anymore. And you're invited to be part of the story. Forgiveness is on the table and you are invited through Jesus and only Jesus into the kingdom of God. And it says that these men and women, they respond. They say, what do we do? And Peter keeps preaching. It says, with many other words, he pleaded with them. And then it says this. At the end of the sermon, toward the end of the second chapter of the book of Acts, it says, with many other words, he pleaded, be saved from. Now, how would you finish that sentence? Traditionally, if you thought about a Christian sermon, you're getting to the end of it. The first Christian sermon, you get to the end of it, and somebody says, be saved from, how do you finish that sentence? What words or phrases or images come to mind when you think about what it is we're being saved from? I'm fascinated by what Peter says. He says, be saved from this corrupt or this wicked generation. He says, look around, guys. Look around, see how things are going. Look how things are going at home, at work. Look how everything's going with government. Just look around, guys. Be saved from it. The word translated corrupted or perverse or wicked generation, it's a Greek word, scolios. It's where we get our word scoliosis. Scoliosis is a twisting of the spine. The spine is supposed to be straight and strong, and the rest of the body really counts on the spine being strong, right in the center and strong. But scoliosis is when the spine twists and it's out of alignment. It's not where or what it should be. And so it not only harms itself in doing that, but it has obvious negative consequences to everything else around it, counting on it. Scolios. Peter says, be saved from a generation that, well, you look around, things look okay, but it doesn't take a whole lot of prodding and probing to find out that things just aren't how they should be. They're not how they should be between any two people. They're not how they should be all the way up to government and one nation and another. They're not the way they should be in your marriage between fathers and sons and mothers and daughters. Nothing is how it's supposed to be, and they're not going to get better just because you want them to. It's the way of Jesus, the resurrected Jesus Christ. That's the way. Be saved from it. Who's in? And it says at the end of the second chapter of Acts, the end of this sermon, about 3,000 people were added to their number that day. 3,000 people in one day. That's a big church. A week later, it's another few thousand. Then it's 5,000. And then it's hundreds of thousands. And then it's millions. And then it's millennia later, this little thing that we refer to as Christianity. Which begs the question, what happens when just a handful of people come together and trust God enough to completely disbelieve the idea that the resurrection is just a story to believe in? Because it is a cool story. Hey, that guy was dead, now he's not. But it didn't end there. What happens when a small group of people come together and refuse to believe that the resurrection is just a story to agree with or disagree with, but instead ask the question, what does the resurrection of the Son of God, what does that mean for my life, starting today and lasting forever? What does that actually mean starting right now?
Being born in the Midwest, I grew up in the church. I felt like I knew the basics of Christianity, but never gave my life to creating a relationship with Jesus. I've lived a life of very selfish motivations, always about what was best for me. It was October 1997, and out of the blue on a Friday night, my wife asked me to attend an event at a local church. I resisted the idea with all of my energy, but as usual, Sarah won the fight. I look back now, and I'm so thankful for Sarah's persistence. The moment we entered the building, something penetrated my soul. 3,000 people praising God as one body. I will never forget it. I was changed forever that day. We gave our lives to building a relationship with the God who has been pursuing us as long as we have existed. My motivations in life changed. It wasn't about me anymore. It was a rebirth, a passing from death to life. Since then, my family has gone through a lot. 3 sons being born, 11 different places to live, 3 different states, 2 jobs. Throughout this, we have been blessed with amazing opportunities. The opportunity to work for Apple, for instance, was a major milestone in my life. In the first 8 years that I worked for Apple, I had the opportunity to learn so much, all along feeling like God was preparing me for something more. It was an enormous job being responsible for the teams that oversee Apple's North American operations, yet God had another responsibility for me. I got a call last July from Jonathan, inviting me into a new story, an invitation that confirmed God had been preparing me for something else. It was one of the hardest decisions I've ever made. To leave Apple in the position I was in with all the power and influence I had, I was already doing God's work, kingdom work, and seeking to live out the way of Jesus where I was. But God made it clear that the skills I had developed were going to be put to use in a way I didn't see coming. He wanted to put them to use here. I was being offered rebirth again. My first reaction was amazement. It was hard to compute. And there was so much emotion involved in being on staff at Crosspoint. So I planned a visit. I flew out to take a look at the area and to experience the community on Sunday in August. After much prayer, doubt, emotion, and fear, it became clear that though I was already getting to do something great in California, there was no way my family could pass up the chance to be directly connected to what God was doing here with all of you and where the resurrected Christ seems to be taking us.
I was as far removed from God as one can get. I started drinking at the age of 12. By the age of 15, I was living in a bar. Been arrested so many times I lost count, and every one of them started with drunk and. I enlisted in the army, almost got a bad discharge. I've spent years of my life in jail. I was illiterate with no education, homeless, hopeless. There was no God for me, or so I thought. 21 years ago, a man was brought into my life without and offered me a way of living without alcohol or anything else. He took me to AA, thank God. I was able to slowly come to an understanding of a loving and powerful God that would solve all my problems. A God that loved me before I loved him. A God that was inviting me into resurrection all along. God's taken me many places and done great things with my life. If it sounds like I'm bragging, I am. Just not on me. This is what God has done for me. I haven't had a drink of alcohol in over 21 years. I've been married almost 18 years to a wonderful woman. We've been able to raise two great children together. I've been given a chance to receive an education, all the way up through a master's degree. I know that God has positioned me at every turn to carry the message of his love and salvation through the telling of my own rebirth. Years ago, my wife and I were led to North Carolina, where we later found Cross Point. 2 years ago, we were able to begin an AA group there, where we get to hear and see the story of rebirth, life from death, play itself out every Wednesday night. Just like the early church and this one, it started small and has grown rapidly because we know that God is with us and that what he wanted for me and for my life, resurrection, he wants for everybody. He wants it for you. He wants it for the whole world. Thanks for my life.
For years, I lived like a nomad, moving from place to place around the country. Some places were good, some not so great. None were places I called home for too long. My motto was always, never own more than you can stuff into the back of your car, just in case. I grew up in a Christian home, but by 18, I had traded spirituality for drugs and partying and a pseudo rock star life. I made several attempts at getting my life together, but nothing seemed to fit. I didn't seem to fit. In the summer of 04, I was living in the mountains of Sedona, Arizona, and I had a complete mental breakdown, and I attempted to take my life. I'll never forget my brokenness that day. I pounded my fists on the floor of the shower, screaming at God with all of my anger. Why this pain? Why me? I can't do this. Why won't you help me? Please. And although I didn't think it at the time, it was by his grace I survived that day. And it wouldn't be for some time that I would get my answers and realize that God did rescue me that day in Sedona. One of my bandmates I had living in Texas had moved to North Carolina, and I called him needing his help. He invited me to come here. Soon after I got here, I ended up moving into the warehouse in the back of a tattoo shop. And God placed a complete stranger in my path that helped me to begin to understand my journey a little more. This man and I began to ask tough questions about real life. This was a turning point. I was beginning to see life differently, and I was discovering God again, but in a very different way than I had known him as a child. I met my soon-to-be wife around this time. Seeds of hope and truth were being planted as my life began to overlap the lives of others that God brought into our lives. And just when those seeds were beginning to take root, we discovered Cross Point. Had some really unbelievably profound experiences playing and coming here for all of you. And it's an honor to say the least. Today I stand before you a life resurrected. I'm a preschool teacher. I'm a musician. I'm a husband to an amazing wife. And most recently, I'm a father to the most beautiful baby girl in the world. Her name's Sedona Grace, because that's where the Father's love first found me. And that's where I'm finding the Father's love even more. My little girl's going to get the chance to grow up in a home and in a family. All of you, understanding the universe-altering fact that death and darkness no longer has the last word. God's love does. Peace.
Shelley was my childhood friend. When we were still quite young, she died. Her death left many unanswered questions that over the years played themselves out in the form of panic attacks. I had to master talking myself down from the daily attacks so I would seem normal to those who knew me. But the intense attacks of fear were very real and were affecting my everyday life. I was unable to think about or even discuss death. Even playing dinosaurs with my children would begin an attack because the dinosaurs had died. The fear of death, even the idea of death, was ruining my life. But I had my last panic attack at Cross Point the morning of Easter 2009. It was only the second time I'd ever been to church. The service ended with a song that God used to help me let down my guard. And I heard him tell me that I was his child, that I am beautiful, and that he would release me from the fear that wasn't allowing me to fully live. As we sang the words, "It's all because of Jesus, I'm alive," the fear of the unknown was replaced by the peace of knowing what happens when you die. And I felt the burden of Shelley's death lifted. As the tears streamed down my face during the service, the panic attacks that had plagued my life were washed away. I'd encountered resurrection, Jesus's and my own. Since that amazing day last year, I have come out from behind the wall of fear and introversion. I've experienced passing from a paralyzing fear of death into a peacefulness that has released me to become more the woman, mother, wife, friend, and servant he intends for me to be.
As I look out around us, I'm reminded of how God can change a life in just an instant. How just responding to a simple nudge from God can take you on a journey that you never could have imagined. That's what happened to my husband Greg and me 12 years ago. We were minding our own business in Danville, Indiana, perfectly content with our lives. Our family lived close by. We were totally immersed in a church community. We were enjoying the life of a young family of four living in the Midwest. Then God stepped in and rocked our world. We were approached by some friends about joining a team of two other families and moving to North Carolina to start a church. This one. My first thoughts were, what? We don't know anything about starting a church. What about our house, our family, our cozy little life here? What will Greg do for a job? What if we move down there and we give everything we have and we do our best, but nobody comes? But God continually and gently invited us into this adventure. And although there were way more unknowns than there were knowns, we listened, we followed, and we obeyed. And as usual, God delivered. What we're experiencing today was never even on our radar. Most of the time in those early days, we were just trying to figure out how to plan one more week and keep our heads above water. We were not at all prepared for the task that we were facing. But we knew that God was leading, and we knew that if we just continued to follow one step at a time, then he would take care of all the details, in spite of our weaknesses and in spite of our shortfalls, in spite of having no idea what might someday result from our saying yes to him. Today is a reminder that every day, every single day, God is calling us forward into an adventure, one birthed out of our confidence in the power of his resurrection.
Pretty amazing to think about three ordinary families listening to a prompting from God and a nudging from God 12 plus years ago with nothing other than the confidence that the resurrection of Jesus really does change lives. It's amazing to think that the story that they would step into 12 years ago would ripple out on so many other people's lives, creating so many other stories that would ripple out on even more people's lives to the point where some 3,500 people would be gathered here today in a place like this to declare before all creation that the resurrection of Jesus does in fact change lives and is still changing lives today. You know, and for many of us, that story and then the stories we just listened to, they're stories that humble us, that inspire us, that compel us to pursue Jesus all the more and have all the more confidence in him. But for others of us, listening to those stories causes us to pause and to consider what kind of story that we're living. And when we do that, some of us start to realize that perhaps in many ways the story that we're living is one apart from God. And while many of us at times try our best to manage our life without him, we find that it's proving to be a more and more exhausting way to live. And we find ourselves with little, if any, hope that things can actually change. And so many of us, we find ourselves stuck in a story that frankly feels rather empty. And I want you to know today that if that's you, it's because your story was never meant to be lived without God. Your life, your story is meant to be woven together with the reality that Jesus resurrected from the dead. That death no longer has the last word. Listen to what the scripture says in Romans chapter 8. It says, "And if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who lives in you." You see, the resurrection of Jesus is meant to bring life. And it's meant to bring you life. The resurrection is not merely a belief. It's not just merely a theory or some intellectual agreement that you simply add on to whatever life you're accustomed to living. But rather, God, he desires to bring life to whatever has died in you. To resurrect life wherever there is death in you and in the world around us. You see, that very first Easter morning when Jesus walked out of that tomb, it marked the beginning of a new day, a new creation, a new hope, a new story. And perhaps this Easter morning, that's the same thing you find yourself needing. Perhaps you're here and you feel rather stuck, as if nothing will ever change or can change, and perhaps what you need is for God to resurrect hope in you again. Where you can move from being consumed with all the questions of why did this happen or why didn't this happen? And you can start to ask questions like, God, what's it look like to partner with you to do something about it? God, what's it look like to move forward with you? What's it look like to move forward into your story? Perhaps you're here, and even though you've been going through the motions in your marriage, it feels like something between the two of you has slowly been dying. And perhaps what you need most today is simply a renewed confidence that Jesus can resurrect your love, that he can resurrect your commitment to one another, that this isn't the way that it has to be for the next 10, 20, 30, 40 years. Perhaps you're here today and you've been rather successful, but the reality is you're just bored. And something in you continues to feel like it's just dying on the inside. But perhaps what you need most is for God to resurrect a calling in you, a passion in you that gives you a renewed sense of significance and purpose. Or perhaps you find yourself here today with a constant pressure to be perfect all the time, to feel like you have to be perfect as a mom or as a dad, as a student. You have to be perfect as a provider or as a son or as a daughter, even as a child of God. And maybe your story is that perhaps you think your past is so dark that somehow it disqualifies you from being a significant part of God's story. And the guilt of both of those realities, whatever it is for you, can seem overwhelming at times. And so perhaps what you need most is for God to bring life to you this morning through the reminder of his grace, through the reminder that God is for you, not against you. That God is not holding your past and he's not holding your mistakes over your head, but as a perfect father, he loves you not based on your performance, but simply for being you, for being his child. You see, the very reason Jesus resurrected from the dead was to give you life in every way, to make whatever it is that has died in you alive again. And that's the story that Jesus invites all of us to step into, to trust in him, to trust in his leadership by the same Spirit who raised Jesus from the dead, as the scriptures say, and that you would allow that same Spirit to give life to you. A few moments ago, you heard Steve talk about this group of very ordinary people in the book of Acts who let the Spirit of the resurrected Jesus infuse their life and how their confidence in Jesus began to ripple out. And not only did it change their lives, but it changed the lives of everyone they encountered and everyone that they interacted with. And it became a movement that impacted their world, a movement that was marked by a love for people regardless of where they came from or what they believed, a movement that was marked by generosity where other people, where all these people, these followers of Jesus, began to put other people's needs ahead of their own, a movement marked by grace, a movement marked by a pursuit to know and live out the very heart of God. And so, friends, I want you to just look around for a moment, and I want you to imagine. Imagine what happens today when this many people, when this many people decide to step into God's story. Imagine what happens today when this many people choose to live their lives with the confidence that the tomb is, in fact, empty. Imagine what happens today when this many people decide that this world actually matters, that what we do with our lives actually matters, and that things like greed and abuse and lies have no place because they belong to death. And we are a part of God's resurrection story in every way. Imagine what happens today when a community of people looks at all of this, looks at all of this, and no one thinks, you know what, look how cool we are. And no one thinks, hey, look at what we've done. Look at all that we've become. But rather live with the constant awareness that this, it is all because of Jesus. It's all because of Jesus. That the reason that we no longer have to live in fear, the reason we can celebrate all these lives that are being changed, the reason that each of us can have hope and live a story worth living is that it's all because of Jesus. And so my hope and my prayer for all of us as we prepare to leave here today is that we would leave here declaring with our mouths and declaring with our lives that it is all because of Jesus that I'm alive. And that we're alive. And that we would declare that together. And so I'm going to ask as we close that you would stand with me. And let me pray for us. Father, thank you so much. Thank you so much that you loved us enough to step into our story and invite us into your own. Thank you so much that you don't hold our past against us. You don't hold our mistakes over our head. But God, thank you that you are indeed for us. That you're for us and you want good things for us. And so, Father, today, as we gather here in this place, basking in the sun and this beautiful creation, overlooking this water, outside all together as one family, gathered together in one room, in one place for all the world to see and to hear. God, may it be our declaration that this is nothing about us, but that this is all about you. This is all because of you. And Father, may our lives overflow with gratitude and gratefulness for the resurrection of your Son and the resurrection that in turn you are doing in us and that you call us to be a part of what you're doing in this world. God, may that compel us. May it compel us to live lives that are worthy of you and worthy of your love and your calling on our life. Father, we are so grateful. And we declare today, as loud as we can, that this is all because of you. In the name of our resurrected Savior, all the believers said,